we've been having these stories of the violence in the royal house. We've been having them now for a few days, and they are, in a way, they do illustrate what the gospel is talking about, because it's the same thing. Here it's power. You may remember Joash was the one descendant of David who, as a tiny child, was sequestered and taken away when Ahaliah, the queen, murdered them all so she could be the ruler. And Joash was hidden for several years in the temple, actually. And then finally, when the right time came, Zechariah the priest organized all the soldiers, and they crowned him king and killed Ahaliah. Now we have the story of Jehoiada was the man who engineered all this. After the death of Jehoiada, the rulers of Judah came and paid homage to King Joash. Well, they did more than that. And the king then listened to them. And they said, you know, this worshiping of this God, it's gotten us nowhere. Why don't we just forget about that? Worship like everybody else who knows these powers that are in the cosmos that we need to placate and to be in touch with. Certainly the power of fertility, which is all the cult of Baal and so forth. And he said he listened to them. They forsook the temple of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and began to serve the sacred poles and the idols. Because of this crime of theirs, wrath came on Judah and Jerusalem. And you just heard, you know, although prophets were sent to them to convert them to the Lord, the people would not listen to their warnings. We've got people every day trying to call the world back to some worship of God and some respect for each other, right? Just think of the influence Pope Benedict has on the world. When he speaks, the whole world knows about it. And he's incessantly calling, calling, calling. And so the Arameans came, and they were a tiny group. They managed to take all the booty, take everything, and go. So punishment was meted out to Joash. After the Arameans had departed from him, leaving him in grievous suffering, his servants conspired against him because of the murder of the son of Jehoiada, the priest. Jehoiada had been the one who had saved Joash and protected him and brought him forth. And he was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Now, all of this is told to us to show us that, you know, evil really has effects. When we sin, we set loose evil. And it reflects on us and on everybody else. And then in the psalm, we had this, the promise that David, that the Lord made to David, with also the proviso, I will always have an heir on your throne. But if they disobey me, I will punish their crime with a rod and their guilt with stripes. Yet my mercy I will not take from him, nor will I belie my faithfulness. And yet, a time came when there was no more king. They all went into exile. The shock of this. This was as great a trial of faith as the Holocaust. And the psalm goes on, if you read Psalm 89, after reciting all the promises that God has made, then says, and yet, abandon us. You've broken your covenant. We have no king. And they had to wait until Jesus came to be the king. Now, he advises us today in a remarkable way about how to live. And we don't have time to go into it all, but on one level, it's pretty clear, isn't it? But it's interesting that he calls both God and money masters. Money is a master. And we see it, don't we? And we see it. I mean, people always needing more, 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 more. Why? The vice of that is called, and we translate it avarice, but the word is pleonexia, which means the desire always to have more. And it's a master, a harsh master. People lose sleep, they lose energy, they lose life, they lose over la musica. Now, the Italians have this lovely phrase, tutti ballano alla musica. Everybody dances to the music. It's against that that our Lord is warning us. And he's saying, don't worry about those things. Your Father will take care of you. And so you say, well, what about all the people in Sudan? And the Lord says, if you'd stop worrying about yourself and take what's extra from yours and send it over there, God would be taking care of them. You're supposed to take care of them instead of worrying about yourself. And so it's a very powerful and very beautiful image. And our Lord, you know, is saying, this is the Son of God talking to us. Look at the birds, for heaven's sake. There they are out there eating. Nobody had to cook it for them. They didn't have to buy anything. Now, some in the history of the church have so understood that and had the charism that they've actually lived it just that way. One is certainly St. Francis, who walked out of town naked, left all his clothes, everything, put on an old burlap bag and said, this is it, and never touched money again, ever. So we have a great lesson here. And I think the Lord is just saying, don't worry. Remember that worrying about money, about possessions, about security, is a master, and a much harsher master than God. And so, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't worry about it. He's not saying, you know, don't use your common sense. Don't worry about it. It's a very, very precious word from the Lord this morning. Huh? He says, why are you worrying? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? The pagans seek it. The people who don't even know me. The people who don't even know my Father. They're the ones who seek after this. And they're dominated by it. And that's a very harsh master. How many alcoholics? How many ulcers? How many broken marriages? All come from serving this master. So if by the grace of God we're not in that situation, then we can do two things. We can help those who are waiting for God to come to their aid by going to their aid. It's easy to do. I mean, there's a big bin right over there in the parish for the St. Vincent de Paul Society. There's many things we can do. So don't worry. And then be one of the instruments through which God cares for all those who need to look to him for everything. They have nothing.